Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Mike. I'm one of the pastors here at Athey Creek. Brett's not here today, so I'm going to be sharing with you guys a little bit. Let's see, there's something big going on today. I kept thinking it was me teaching. I was like, oh, what's going to be going on Sunday? But today is the Super Bowl. So I had to just take a quick poll with you guys real quick. Who is rooting for the Patriots? Nobody? Nobody thinks the Patriots? I know there's some Patriot fans, so let's do this one more time. Who's rooting for the Patriots? Yeah! There we go. Finally. Yeah, I like that. All right. Now, who's rooting for the Giants? All right. So this is what you guys need to do. If you're rooting for the Giants, pray. If you're rooting for the Patriots, pray. And then we'll see who God loves more. So we'll stay tuned for that. Next week, we'll see which one of you guys are really just listening to the Lord and obeying the Lord. So we'll see. I don't know. At the end, I'll be like, oh, man, I feel bad for those excited Patriot guys today. But no, I'm just kidding. We'll see who wins. It'll be fun to watch that today. So if you have your Bibles, turn them to 1 Kings chapter 9. All right, we're going to be in verse 1 today. I want to catch you up just a little bit on where we're at here in 1 Kings 9. I just got done reading through 1 Kings. It was really cool. I've been really blessed by just reading through 1 Kings. Just learn about Solomon, more of his life. And it's been a while since I've been in there, so it's been good. So when I was kind of praying about, well, Lord, what should I share today? It's so easy to kind of get caught up with, you know, well, Lord, this is what I want to teach, or this is what I think we should say. But really, I just took kind of a verse that stood out to me, a little section of scripture that I've been reading through. I was blessed by it, so I kind of wanted to share it with you guys today, so I hope that's okay. So right now, in 1 Kings 9, Solomon has been, I'm just going to catch you up on the events that have happened thus far. Solomon has been anointed king after the death of David. David died early on. He anointed Solomon. That's an interesting story there, too, in chapter 1 and 2. God told Solomon that he would grant him any request there earlier in the book. And you guys know the story. It's like, Solomon, I'll give you anything you want. What do you want? And Solomon said, man, I need understanding. I just need that wisdom. I thought that was pretty amazing, because most of us would probably wish for something we don't need. And he wished for something he does need. So that was pretty wise in the beginning, just needing wisdom. And then the Lord blessed him with that. He had great wealth. He had peace on all sides around him, and he was politically stable at that time. One of the things I kind of noticed with Solomon is that he's a guy who really just had all things going on. He was rich. He was doing well. He was successful. He had everything that he could possibly want. He just finished the temple, which was awesome. If you guys were here for Tad's study on Wednesday, Tad taught that David did everything that he could. He did everything he could to get ready to build the temple. But David couldn't build the temple because he was a man with blood on his hands. But we'll get more into that in just a little bit. So Solomon's this guy who just wealth, riches, man, just doing well. I mean, politically stable, peace around him, made lots of treaties and allies with people. And so it's kind of like, man, Solomon had it going on. He was just kind of a cool guy. He seemingly had everything, right? It's kind of like the American dream, if you think about it like that. It's kind of funny that it's an American dream, because it's kind of a fallacy. But if I can only do this, if I can only do that. Well, Solomon had kind of achieved and done all of that. So that's kind of where we pick up in our text right now. So there's three things I kind of wanted to cover with you. But just chapter 9, verse 1, 1 Kings. As soon as Solomon had finished building the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that Solomon desired to build, that point right there, he had achieved, just as I had said earlier, that he had already built what David couldn't do, but just because God had told him that. So we're picking up in a really cool part in Solomon's life. Very successful, if you want to think about it like that. If you want to think of it as a ministry, very successful in this ministry of where he was at. He finished it. It was good. So in verse 2, the Lord appeared to Solomon a second time. Well, the first time that the Lord appeared to Solomon was 20 years earlier, and he was in Gibeon. And the first appearance of the Lord was what I'd kind of touched on just a second ago. It was that, man, the Lord came to him, asked him, you know, what do you want? I'll give you whatever you want. Just tell me what you want. And he had asked with a pure heart for wisdom. That's huge. I'd kind of been thinking about this, and it's funny, we often think, well, man, am I hearing from the Lord? Does the Lord, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but the Lord hasn't shown up in person or in a dream in my life and just said, Mike, what do you want? But what he has done is he does speak to us. And he speaks to us daily. We can seek him daily. We can pray. We can read our Bibles. We can go to church. We can hear his word. We can fellowship with one another. There's a lot of different ways that we can hear from the Lord. Personally, I found, even if, I don't know if any of you guys were here last night too, but Nate got to share, and he was just talking about that devotional time, but personally I found that that devotional time when I'm in the Word is when I'm hearing from the Lord. And I kind of want to just build up on this a little bit to get to a point towards the end of this chapter, but it's kind of crazy, just as we read there, that the Lord appeared to Solomon a second time. So that's huge already, but it had been 20 years since the first time the Lord appeared to him. So it is kind of interesting that we pray, we seek the Lord, we're in his word, we're wanting to hear from the Lord. But even throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, even when we read the book of Acts, we see all these miraculous things, but sometimes it's years between things, between events, between these glorious appearances from the Lord. There's also some times in Israel's history where it seems like there's hundreds of years where they hear from the Lord, just as when Jesus came. It had been hundreds of years since seemingly they had heard from the Lord. So Solomon's a guy here who'd already got to hear from the Lord twice. That's huge. I think that's awesome. And both times I'd noticed, because I went through and I was reading, well, what was Solomon doing that he heard from the Lord? How did he hear from the Lord? Because we can sit here and say, okay, well, I prayed today. The Lord hasn't revealed himself, so that didn't work. That's kind of a bummer. You know, I mean, I think we've all kind of been there. We've all, like, needed to hear a word. We needed to hear something saying, man, Lord, I have an issue. I have a problem. I need help with this. I'm struggling. I have decisions to make. Where are you? But it's funny because both times Solomon, he loved the Lord. He obeyed him. He was worshiping him, and he prayed. And I'm not saying that the Lord can't speak to us, even if we're in sin or doing something like that. But it's going to be a lot more difficult, and it's probably not going to happen as often. So I would just encourage you guys, Solomon was a guy, when he heard from the Lord, he was already serving the Lord. He was already worshiping the Lord. It's been cool. I'd really encourage you guys to, not to skip ahead at all, but just read at least 1 Kings chapter 1 through 11 or 12, somewhere in there. Just the story of Solomon, how he did what he did, how he served the Lord. It's kind of neat. So Solomon was a guy that he did hear from the Lord, and that's key here. Verse 3, and the Lord said to him, I have heard your prayer and your plea, which you have made before me. I have concentrated this house that you have built by putting my name there or there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there for all time. So what prayer is this that Saul, or that the Lord's talking about, that he heard from Solomon here? Solomon had just, as I told you, finished the temple, but one of the things that he had done once he finished the temple was he did this beautiful prayer there in chapter 8. It's kind of amazing. He was an eloquent guy, the wisest guy who ever lived. So you got to think, like, man, he could probably pray pretty intelligently. And he did. It was cool. I want to read that more in just a little bit. But he had this beautiful prayer when the Lord just said that, yeah, he basically put that seal on that. Hey, Solomon, you prayed. I heard your prayer. I'm talking to you right now. I'm going to kind of just accept that and seal that. But then he moves on. And in verse 4, and he says, and as for you, this kind of cracked me up, by the way, because as I was kind of just going over my notes and rereading this, that he said, and as for you, and I kind of thought it was like a parent, you know, it was like when your kids come and they ask you for something, and you're like, well, for you, and you kind of think, as for you. So I don't think that's like the Lord's intent here, but he does kind of take more of that serious tone with Solomon, if you know what I'm talking about. When your kids come up to you and want something, hold on, Junior, as for you, I have something else for you. Just wait right there. I'll be right back. Anyway, I don't think that's what the Lord's saying, but it kind of made me chuckle as a parent. I have two kids, so I was just like, yeah, that's something I would say. So I was just like, and as for you, if you walk before me as David your father walked, with integrity of heart and uprightness, doing according to all that I have commanded you and keeping my statutes and my rules. So here's this if statement that we see. We see these often in the Word. As I was kind of doing some research and some study, I was like, man, there's a lot of if-then statements in the Word. There's, depending on which translation you have, NIV, King James, there's, I think in the King James, there's over 1,500 if statements. And a lot of them don't have to deal with if-then, but they're if you do this, you will do this, fill in the blank. So they're the same sort of text. It might not be if-then, but it's 1,500 if statements like that in the Word. But he says, if, and this is a conditional promise. We see these in the Word. We see these with certain promises that God makes towards us. If you do this, I will do this. It's kind of like, and just pulling it back to my kids, this is kind of funny. So with the kids, you know, getting report cards, we're about to get our report cards soon, by the way. And so for the kids, so we're always, it's funny, they're always nervous. They've always got good grades. But as parents, we say, if you get good grades, then we can go to Dairy Queen, you can buy whatever you want. Which is pretty sweet, right? I mean, you're a grade school kid, get whatever you want, as big as you want, I don't even care if you finish it. And they look forward to that. We've done that all the way through grade school, just a little simple, fun parenting thing. And they love it. And so it's one of these things that, and I often think, of, because the Lord is our Father and we are His kids, and as parents, I think we can relate more towards the Lord, seeing that we are children of the Lord. So how He treats us is, we are His kids, He is our Father. So He says, if Solomon... And that's, he's setting the stage right here. So if you do this, I just want to read that again because there's something I want to point out here. He says, and as for you, again, me thinking as a parent, and as for you, if you walk before me as your father, or as David your father walked. Now this is kind of funny too, because those of you who know the story of David know that he said, as David your father walked, with integrity of heart and uprightness, doing according to all that I have commanded you and keeping my statutes and my rules. David was a guy with blood on his hands. David was a guy who we could call a murderer because he really wasn't, or was the guy that murdered Uriah. He was a guy that committed adultery, so he was an adulterer. And so the Lord's kind of, as a father, he's painting this picture just saying, if basically you're like David. And I was like, wow, that's huge. If you're like David, David, who's called a man after God's own heart. So how could this be? If you're a murderer, then we'll get to that in a second. But what's the key here? I don't know if you guys caught that. But when he talks, he says, with integrity of heart. That's one of the key things I want to track a little bit today, is that issue of the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7, we're told that man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart of man. That's key. We see that through Scripture, just over and over and over again. We're all sinners. We fall short. You know, there's all, the best we can do to offer God is just filthy, dirty rags. If I tried my best day, so you know what, Lord, I'm going to get up at 3 a.m. today because you know what? Oh, let's make it 2 a.m. I'm going to get up and deny myself. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray for 12 hours today, Lord. I'm going to fast. I'm going to do all these things. The best day as a Christian that I could have, lead as many people, Lord, is filthy rags towards the Lord. It's just because His standards are so much greater than our standards. To me, that's not discouraging. That's encouraging. Because the Lord is not, His graciousness is not based off of how good I am or my deeds. His love and graciousness is based off of Him and what He did and what He sent Jesus to do on the cross for us. So when I read stuff like this, that David can be a man after God's own heart, I realize that, I mean, Lord willing, hopefully I can be that man. Because, I mean, I haven't murdered anybody, at least not today, which is pretty cool. I mean, that's good. So, you know, check, got that one down. You know, I haven't committed adultery today. I mean, Lord willing, I mean, check. Hopefully today, as of 9:22, haven't done that. But it's kind of like we all wrestle with different sins. And I just want to point out here that whatever we wrestle with, it's normally a matter of the heart. Don't be surprised when you fall short. I would be surprised when we don't fall short. You know what I'm saying? Like if you've ever had a good friend for a number of years, man, at some point they're going to disappoint you. At some point they're going to fall short of your expectations. And you know what? Don't be surprised when that happens. But the Lord's quick to forgive. If there's one thing in Scripture that we see, the Lord is quick to forgive. So verse 5. So he says, again, the Father, if, verse 5, then I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever. As I promised David your father, saying, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. And that's just the blessing that we see. We're going to see that in just a little bit. But there's another if-then statement coming up also. And this is sort of like the blessing statement. In verses 4 through 5, we see, and I just wrote this down, the Lord is good, gracious, and fair. Because he is, even as he judged David and he blessed David, he loved David. I mean, David's just called even a man of faith, which is huge. The Lord's good. Remember that. That whatever we're dealing with, the Lord's good. If you walk with David with integrity of heart. David was a man who sinned, but he also repented and turned back from his sin and followed the Lord. So in verse 6, this is a little bit of the area I wanted to camp out just a little bit more. Verse 6, but if you turn aside from following me, you or your children, and do not keep my commandments and my statutes that I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them. And then we'll stop, and he's going to get back into the then statement. But there's two if-thens here. We see the first if-then a little bit earlier in verses 4 and 5, and then in 6, here's another if. It's kind of like this. If you get good grades, you'll get ice cream, which is pretty sweet. That's a big deal in our house. We love ice cream. I mean, it's like a celebration. Had ice cream last night. I mean, you know, it was a good thing. So it was one of these things that, hey, if you do well, you know what? We're gonna go bless you. It'll be good. If you don't do well, we need to figure out what the problem is. Does that make sense? I mean, those of you who have kids, you know what I'm talking about. It's kind of like, if you do this, you'll be blessed. If you don't do this, well, there's going to be some repercussion for that sin. I kind of thought that it was kind of like this, like the if-then statements. I like it because they use if-then statements in computer programming too. For those of you who are in computer, if this, then this happens. If this, then this happens. And it's kind of just a thing with life. If I put my hand down, actually, let me back up just a little bit. The other day, if you drop a cup on your toe, it could become black and blue. And that's where I'm at right now in my life, just to let you guys know. It's like the other morning, I just walk into the kitchen, grab a cup, tired, first thing, need a drink of water, drop it, ow, that hurt. I could not believe how bad that hurt. Like, it was one of these things where I was like, I was limping. Like, I mean, my toe, because it was my big toe, so it's all black right now, just to give you guys a little visual. Welcome to church, welcome to Athey Creek. Mike has a black toe, so I hope you enjoy that. But it's kind of one of those things that, it seems silly, but it's kind of true. If I do this, that's going to hurt me. And sin is sort of the same way. So, again, just in verse 6, but if you turn aside from following me, you or your children, and do not keep my commandments and my statutes that I've set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will cut off Israel from the land which I have given them, and the house that I have consecrated for my name that I will cast out of my sight. Even as the Lord just a little bit ago said, hey, it's good, I got you. I've heard your prayers. I understand. Solomon, you're doing well. You're the man. This is the guy, remember, wealth, wisdom, prosperity. He had it going on. I mean, he was a guy who really, really had it down at the time. I kind of think of this as picture the person that you have in your mind, like whether it be from youth or whether it be your current pastor now, whether it be whoever it is, and you think of somebody kind of on a pedestal. Man, that guy would never waver, ever waver. This was kind of Solomon to me when I read this right now. So when we read that right there where he says that where he'd cast them out of his sight, Israel will become a proverb and a byword among the peoples. Verse 8, and this house will become a heap of ruins. Everyone passing by it will be astonished and will hiss and will say, why has the Lord done thus to this land and to this house? Then they will say, because they abandoned the Lord, their God, who brought their fathers out of the land of Egypt and laid hold on other gods and worshipped and served them. Therefore, the Lord has brought all this disaster on them. So just to paint kind of a picture here, it's kind of crazy because the first half is pretty short of this, just 1 through 9, where it's just Solomon, he's doing what he's supposed to do. And it almost seems harsh, right? Just as like a child saying, hey, dad, can I do this? Yeah, and then you just give a big, huge, long dad lecture. You know, I'm good at dad lectures, by the way. I'm pretty good at it. All my wife's got to do right now is, you want to talk to dad? And then it's like settled, because it's just, I just don't think they want to hear a lecture, honestly. Like, it's partly fear from pain, and then the other one is probably fear from just the dad lecture, which is pretty cool. And so when I read this right here, I just kind of think of that, like, okay, Lord, you spent like a little bit saying, hey, like up in verse 3, I've heard your prayer and your plea, that which you made before me. So the Lord's like, hey, I got it. I kind of wanted to read just a little bit of that prayer, because remember, we're talking about the heart again. Remember, Solomon, where he's at, David, he had sinned. But Solomon, in 8:22, we'll start in verse 22. I'm just going to read this and just pay attention for the key words here. So Solomon 8:22 through 25. Then Solomon stood, and this is where he's given the dedication to the temple. Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel, and spread out his hand towards heaven and said, O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth beneath, keeping covenant and shadowing steadfast love to your servants who walk before you with all their heart, who have kept with your servant David, my father, what you declared to them. You spoke with your mouth and with your hands have fulfilled it to this day. Now therefore, O Lord God of Israel, keep your servant David, my father, what you have promised him, saying, you shall not like a man to sit before me on the throne of Israel. If only your sons pay close attention to their way, to walk before me as you have walked before me. Now therefore, O God of Israel, let your word be confirmed, which you have spoken to your servant, my father. Solomon prayed this pretty awesome prayer. Like, he was just, I just picture him standing up there. It says he's lifting his hands. He's just praying to the God of the universe, the creator of everything. We have that same opportunity, but really here he acknowledges too. Remember Solomon, wisest guy who ever lived. He also said to love your servants who walk before you with all their heart. The thing is, sinners, is even I had said just a few minutes ago, was that don't be surprised when people fail you. Don't be surprised when you fail, because we do fail. We do fall short. We are all sinners. There's none righteous, not even one. There's only one who's ever walked the earth that is righteous, who is that perfect fulfillment of what the Lord would have for us. And just skipping forward a little bit here, again, just painting this picture, in 8:51, or 8:54, I'm sorry. And this is the benediction. This is the end of it. Now, Solomon finished offering all this prayer and prayed to the Lord. He arose before the altar of the Lord, where he had knelt with his hands outstretched. So this is just kind of the end of his prayer, and he had prayed through some things, and the Lord was speaking to him. So 55, and as he stood and blessed all the assembly of Israel with a loud voice, saying, blessed be the Lord of God, who gives rest to his people of Israel according to all that he's promised. Not one word has failed from his good promise. Isn't that amazing to you? Not one word of the Lord has failed. I love that. Which he spoke by Moses, his servant. The Lord our God will be with us as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us or forsake us, that he may be incline our hearts to him, to walk in all his ways and keep his commandments, his statutes, his rules, which he commanded our fathers. Let these words of mine, which I have pleaded before the Lord, be near to the Lord our God day and night. And may he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel as each day requires, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God, there is no other. Let your hearts, therefore, be wholly true to the Lord our God. Walk in his statutes and keep his commandments as to this day. So hopefully by now, I just wanted to point out that, man, Solomon, he's on it. He's saying he's got it. It's that heart that's pure before the Lord. The Lord's talking about here too. He says over and for over, keep my commandments, keep my statutes, obey the Lord. And what I found is really key is that when we are keeping his commandments, and what those could, you know, are a little bit different now, but when we are just, let's just use this term, when we're walking with the Lord and doing what we should do, I've found that our hearts are more pure to what He would have us do. It's kind of like, if you want to get to know somebody, you have to spend time with them. You know, this is kind of funny, didn't mean to talk about this, but it's kind of like Valentine's Day coming up. For those of you married guys, it's all like, check, we got it on the calendar. Hopefully, if you guys don't know, Valentine's Day, February 14th, nothing going on here at the church, I don't think. You know, check the calendar on the back table. But for guys, it's probably a big deal to your wives. So we should probably, and it's, you know, it's a big deal to us too. I mean, we don't want to tell them that, but hey, it's a big deal to us because it's a big deal to them, right guys? And so, no, but that'll be good. But picture about like, hey, you know, your wife wants to spend time with you, and I use this too because it's a picture. Think of it like, hey, you know what? I love you. You're like, okay. Well, your wife's like, great, my husband loves me. That's awesome, you know? Hey, I want to spend some time with you. Really? Yeah. When? I don't have anything available on my calendar for like 6 months. So maybe in 6 months we could hook up, talk. That'd be cool, right? Like maybe spend a little time together. But then maybe your time together that you spend is kind of like, hey babe, can you pass the remote? Like it's kind of like, it's just not probably a good deal. I liken that to spending time with the Lord is also where your heart will be. Where your heart is, there your treasure, or where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's the same kind of idea. The Lord is telling Solomon, hey, obey me, obey my commandments. Listen to what I have to tell you. Obey these things and it will be well for you. Just think of that parent. You know what, Solomon? If your kid's Solomon, you know what, little Solomon? But you know what? Hey, if you do this, good things are going to happen as being a kid. If you don't, bad things are going to happen. And I don't liken that to our Christian walk as far as good things happen to good people who are obeying the Lord and bad things happen to bad. Because we're all bad people. We're all sinners. And that's the key here. So I'm not liking that to that. But what I'm saying is, if we are drawn near to the Lord, if we're walking in the ways that He would have us go, you know what? We're probably going to hear from the Lord. So if you're seeking the Lord, we're probably going to hear from Him. It might not be in our timing. It might not be the way we want it to be. Or maybe we don't hear. Sometimes I found that not hearing is hearing. You know what I'm saying? Like not getting that answer. Should I do this? I'm just not going to give you an answer right now. Well, why, Lord? Why? Just keep reading your Bible and, you know, we'll figure it out. And it's like, why, Lord? Just give me... Sometimes I just wish God would give me an audible voice when I need an answer right now. But then I think it would take the fun out of it for Him to develop me as a person. And so that's kind of the thing, though, is that we each need to be developed, I think, as Christians. We each need to grow in the Lord, to be stretched, to get outside of our comfort zone, to do those things that the Lord would have us do. So how did this all work out for Solomon? Well, those of you who know the story, let's read it real quick. I've been doing a lot of reading today, but this is good. I've been telling you, 1 Kings has been good for me. Chapter 11, 1 Kings chapter 11. The first line here just kills me. Is this kind of funny? I mean, those of you who've already read it and I've already spoiled it, but it's funny. Solomon, man, I'm telling you, he had it going on. He had everything. Wealth, peace, political power. His military is impressive. I mean, if you read about it, I mean, he just had it going on. He had a big military, but didn't really need to use it. Like, just tons of stuff. So the wisest guy, maybe, let's just say maybe not the smartest because of this verse, but the wisest guy, what was his downfall? Now, King Solomon, sorry, I can barely get through it because it's hilarious. Now, King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidon, and the Hittite women, from the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the people, you shall not enter into marriage with them, neither shall they with you, for they surely will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clung to these in love. He had 700 wives, princes, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. Keep hearing that word heart in here, huh? For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. So Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and did not wholly follow the Lord, as David, his father, had done. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and for Molech, the abomination of the Ammonites, and on the mount of East Jerusalem. And so he did for all his foreign wives who made offerings and sacrifices to their gods. Man, what a sad story here with Solomon. You read the first half and you're like, I want to be like Solomon. Man, this guy's awesome. Not just the wealth thing. I kind of think of like the military stuff, honestly. But I just think like, man, he had it going on. Just power. And he loved the Lord. We read those prayers. I'm not going to read them again, but in chapter 8, starting in 22, all the way through the end of 8, Solomon, he had this just heart to serve the Lord. He had this heart to love the Lord, to not only follow him with his heart, as he also mentioned, because he had mentioned that a couple times. He said, Lord, we want to obey your commandments. We want to obey your statutes. We want to serve you. We want to follow after what you would have us do. But he also knew it was the issue of a heart. Even in 11 here, when it said, it talked about David, and he talked about David fully fallen, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord as God, as the heart of David his father. The point is with David, who was that murderer and that adulterer, really, I mean, that's truly, it didn't, I don't think, define him wholly, but it's things that have happened in his life. He repented from those things and made it right. But the thing was, is that they happened. But his heart never turned away from the Lord. And I think that's kind of, as I've been studying through this and reading through this, and as Christians, as those of us who walk with the Lord, it's kind of like we can walk with the Lord. We're going to sin. We're going to mess up. I mean, that's not an excuse to sin. Paul even talks about that in the book of Romans. And so it's not in the idea of, hey, you know what? Let's go out to the world today, Super Bowl. I guess we'll just party. That's cool, after church. And you know what? It's just who I am as a person. And you know what? I'm just a sinner. You know, the guy up there today with the microphone said, I'm a sinner, and we're going to sin anyway. So might as well sin because, you know what? It's cool, right? Like, it's just going to happen. Well, that's just like the worst attitude ever, and the heart's not pure there. Do you know what I'm saying? So we're sinners who will sin, that need to repent, but our hearts need to be fallen after the Lord. What turns Solomon's heart away? Women. Man, I would say that might be a struggle for many people. Women, sex, whatever it is, porn, I don't know, like whatever it is, it might not be. Maybe it's money. We're told the root of all evil is the love of money, there in 1 Timothy. So the thing is that no matter what draws your heart away from the Lord, there are things in this world that draw our hearts away from the Lord. Maybe it's just job, prosperity, riches, all those things Solomon had. Do you realize that Solomon had all of them? All those things, everything. He was like the American dream. You could say, let's liken it to today. Well, I'll just use my kids. And if I told them, you know what? You need to grow up. You need to get a good job. Get a good job. You need to go to college. Well, once college, you need to get your master's. Maybe study doctorate, but master's is the least you can do. Be really disappointed if you get anything other than a master's degree. And then after your master's degree, you need to find the perfect girl. And then when you find the perfect girl, you're going to have the perfect marriage with perfect grandkids. Then your life will be perfect. That's kind of what Solomon had already. You know what I'm saying? Like, he had it, but his heart was still able to draw away from the Lord. And I'm not saying those things are bad at all. I'm not saying college, we shouldn't take our relationships seriously. I think those things are very good. And if you know me, you know that. It's very true. I take those things very seriously. But I liken it to what's going to draw our hearts away from the Lord. Because truly, there's stuff out there. It's out there everywhere. When you guys go out today, I don't know, watch Super Bowl commercials. It's just a guess. I think I've seen like one maybe on YouTube so far. But just taking a guess. I mean, this is just me throwing it out there. Hopefully I'm wrong. Watch the Super Bowl commercials, or if you watch them, not saying watch them, if you watch them, just see, is there anything out there that the world, that the media, that advertising saying, this is what you need? Because it's funny what the world tells us we need compared to what the Bible tells us that we need. Because what we need is to be purely walking with the Lord. What I kind of want to leave is this. I want to close with an if-then statement, but also for Christians, this is just kind of some notes that I had written down. What would the Lord have you obey today? Because the Lord does take what He says in His Word seriously. It's not purely, I've heard this one too, my heart's right with the Lord. You know, it's kind of like, oh, you're a Christian, that's awesome. You meet somebody for the first time, you're a Christian, that's awesome. Where do you go to church? Because that's normally what we do. I mean, we go to church, which is pretty awesome. We meet lots of cool people. I love meeting you guys, you know, all the time, just randomly, church events, family camps, home groups, whatever it is. I just love meeting new believers. It's awesome. Everybody's always been encouraging, you know, however it is. But let's just say that what would the Lord have you do today? What would He have you obey? With this person that you meet, it's like, cool, you're a Christian. Where do you go to church? Maybe bump into them in the grocery store. They see you have a Bible. I don't know. Where do you go to church? Oh, I don't go to church. Okay, cool. Well, why? You know, you're a Christian, right? And you're not accusing. You're just asking them. Well, cool. What are you into? I have a good relationship with the Lord. Sweet. Awesome. I hope I do too. That's great. You know, what's your relationship like? Oh, I don't know. Do you read your Bible? What have you been reading lately? Oh, I don't own a Bible. Okay. So you're into prayer then? I don't like really praying much either, but I have a good relationship with my Lord. I've seriously heard this. I mean, I've heard it a couple times. I have one guy in my mind right now that I had talked to, an army buddy of mine, and it was just like, he's like, I have a good relationship with the Lord. I was like, well, where does your relationship start and where does it stop? And the thing is to truly know the Lord, we have to be in His Word. We have to be reading our Bibles. We have to be praying. We have to listen to what the Lord would have us do. There are things, and this is where I want to glean with this, with the heart, that as we read the Word, we have to also do what it says. It's that if then. If you do these things, then I will do these things. And I was kind of reading through, because like I said, there's about 1,500 if statements in the King James. There's about, I think, 1,000 or 1,200 in the NIV. So, and it just varies just between the wordage and the usage. But so let's just ballpark and say about 1,350, you know, 1,400 of these if statements. There's a lot of them in the New Testament and the Gospels where Jesus said, you know, if you do this, you will have this. If you do this, you will have this. You'll know my voice. You'll do these things. If you love me, you will obey my voice. You will obey my commandments. You will do what I would have you do. And it's not this, I don't want to put this guilt trip on us today, like, are we not obeying? Are we not listening? Are we, do we need to, sort? There's rules of Christianity. This is my first time at church, and you guys are talking about rules, and you're talking about, okay, so if I want to become a Christian and I want to do this, then you guys have a list of rules somewhere I want to follow? Not really. I mean, it's more like we want to try to get to know the Lord better. Our Christianity is not based off of what we can and can't do, but how well we know the Lord, truly. I mean, if we want to know the Lord, we're just going to spend time with Him. We're going to love Him. We're going to try to serve Him. We're going to try to please Him. And we're just going to try to get to know Him a little bit better. Some pain is from sin. And I just wrote this down, and some is from the enemy of the world. But how are we going to respond to that? Because at the same time, as I had said, that it's not always bad things happen to bad people, good things happen to good people, those sorts of things. But some pain is just simply caused from sin. Solomon here, because after he had sinned, that covenant, that conditional kind of promise, covenant that the Lord made with Solomon, just basically saying, if you do this, if you walk before me, I will establish your throne over Israel forever, as I established on David. But he also said it's based off him and his children. So it's kind of like, I liken that to sin in a way. It's kind of like, well, if I'm doing all those things, like, okay, so Christianity is not about rules. It's about a relationship, right? We hear that all the time. There's YouTube videos about it that go viral. You know, there's all this stuff. It's not about works. It's about grace, but I don't get it. What am I supposed to do? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love. It's key there. But if there's sin in our lives that's unchecked sin, just as David sinned when he had murdered Uriah, it was kind of like he repented of his sin. And sometimes we just need to do that, whatever it is. whatever our sin is. Maybe it's, like I liken that to Valentine's Day. Maybe it's simply, love your wife. And we're not loving towards our wives when we wonder why our marriages fail, with our divorce rates, and why people can't get along, when we should just love our wives. It's pretty simple. I think most of the time, if, I mean, I've never had an argument in my marriage, so, if you guys have, just come see me after this, but if I had ever had an argument in my marriage, it would simply be solved with, I hope you guys truly know I'm kidding, but if, but normally it's because I'm being dumb, and then it's love your wife. Man, how key is that? Love your wife. For ladies, I try not to speak too much on that stuff. You know, I try to let my wife do that with other ladies, but it's respect your husband. It's like, you know, if you're arguing with your wife, just love your wife. How's that work out? Just love your wife. I don't get it. Just love your wife. You know, it's kind of like, well, how does that? Just love your wife. Okay, I'm starting to get it now. Yeah, the more you say it, the more you get it. It's kind of funny. Ladies, respect your husband. It's like that thing. But if you're doing those things, if you're, let's say, sex outside of marriage, and you're wondering why your life's messed up, it's because there's sin in your life. If you're going out partying down, being at the club, drinking, you know, you're doing those things. Those are sinful things. And so we kind of wonder, as I'm reading this story, we can have these things happen to us in our lives that, one, can be caused from sin. Some can. There's some things that need to be caused from sin that can draw our hearts away from the Lord, just as Solomon. His was women. I mean, the American dream. Who would we liken him to today? It's like the most popular, most successful world ruler that everybody loved on the planet. And this guy still had faults. It's like amazing. Like he was a human who had faults. We need to be careful on what draws our hearts away from the Lord. Whatever it is, hobbies, interests, you know, whatever draws your heart away from your wife, your family, whatever that is, we need to kind of look and pray through those things and just go to the Lord and just say, just as David did, and say, man, I sinned against the Lord this day. What would you have me do? On sometimes we get these other kind of things that and I got to touch on this too. Sin is, or we get messed up from the world that seemingly like, well, Lord, are you punishing me for being sinful? I can't get a good job. I'm just struggling. I'm not getting along with my family, my wife, whatever it is. Sometimes I'd say, yeah, there's probably some stuff we could fine tune or whatever, but we all can. Trust me. Again, I'm not one of these people, but I mean, I'm sure you guys can find something to fine tune. So come see me afterwards and I'll help you tune it up there a little bit. But man, it's so not true if you guys even know me. But sometimes we just go through storms. I mean, truly, things just come our way. We're seemingly doing the right things. Hopefully we are. Hopefully our hearts are pure. And we just go through storms. We go through unemployment times. We struggle in different things, financially, kids. Whatever it is. How do I raise my children? How do I do this? What's the answer here? What about work? What about finances? What about all these things? Welcome to humanity. You know, it's just kind of like, welcome. You're right. Things aren't perfect. They weren't perfect for Solomon either. So I would say that for us Christians in this room, what's the if-thens in our life? Remember, if you do this, I will bless you here. If you get good grades, you're going to get a blizzard. Biggest one you want. Extra chocolate sauce. I don't care. I mean, you know what? If they have the double extra large, they can fit in a 64-ounce cup. Knock yourself out. Thanks for getting good grades. I mean, that's awesome. If you don't get good grades, I'm going to help you with your homework every day. That's not a punishment, truly. I just really want them to do well. But it's kind of like, now they're going to get more dad lectures. And that's fun for me. But it's kind of like, what is it in our life? If we're having pain from sin, man, Lord, I get drunk. I drunk dial my friends. I go to the club. I sleep with everybody I know. And why are you so mean to me? It's kind of like, really? There is some pain caused from sin. And we have to break off that sin. We have to repent from it. We have to turn our hearts back towards the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. And actually stop doing those things, not just forgive me and then go back to the club the next day. Like, that doesn't really work out practically. Just try to do that with your wife. I love you. I'll never watch that again. I promise. And then she leaves the room. You turn it back on. She comes back in. Sorry, I will never watch that again. Turn it back in. And it's this repeating, revolving door of the same thing over and over and over. And really, your heart was never changed. It's just that you barely changed your work at the time. So Christians that are in the room, if-then statements. What is it in your life that the Lord's saying, if you cut this off, I'll bless you here? It's... And I want to let you just fill in the blank, because for some of us, we're already going to know what that is. It's already on your heart. It's on your mind, whether it be a hobby, like whatever draws your heart away from the Lord. So what is that if-then statement in your life, just as far as what's drawing yourself away? Maybe, just maybe, there's some blessing that we're missing out on because we're unwilling to turn our hearts fully towards the Lord. And don't be surprised when you mess up. You're going to mess up. Repent, pray, repeat, turn your heart back to the Lord, and go back. And if you mess up, welcome to the club. It's always funny when I talk to some guys, because I get to pray with some people sometimes when they come up, and they're like, man, I'm just the biggest sinner. And they start out like that. I always smile. I'm like, welcome to the club. I'm like, yes. I'm like, because that's the first thing, is recognizing our sin, and it's good to know that. Here's the last one I'm going to leave you with, and then we'll pray. And I'm not going to tell you what it is first. I'm just going to read it, and you guys probably know what it is. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's an if then. The you on that could really just be replaced with then, and it says, and then you will be saved. So if you're not a believer in here, it's real simple. What's the if then in your life? The start is just that foundation. It's just knowing that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the grave. Confess that with your mouth. Belief in your works, heart, and you will be saved. It is simple. It wasn't easy for Jesus. He made it easy for us. It is a gift. But that's an if then. And I didn't realize that until I was studying through this stuff. And I was just reading all these if then statements. And I was like, man, salvation comes in an if then. That's pretty cool. And it's not a work. It's just a confession of faith. If you believe, then you will be saved. And that's a cool thing. So hopefully this word was encouraging for you guys today. It was definitely encouraging for me. So selfishly, I got something out of it, just to let you guys know. So that's good. Hope you guys enjoy the Super Bowl. Let's pray real quick, and then you guys can be dismissed. Lord, just thank you so much for being so good to us. And just thank you for your word, Lord. Just for how you show us to live. This is truly your love letter to us. We read it. We can learn more about you. We can learn what you're into, what you're not into. We can learn how things mess us up. We can learn that if we follow after you, that there can be blessing there. And we can learn that if our hearts turn away from you, that if we reject you, Lord, that there is no blessing. And ultimately, we know that even as you had said there in chapter 9, that as the people passed by, they would say, that the Lord has done this to them. But really, we know that it's our decision too. It's our decision to follow you, but by your strength, Lord. And we know that it's our decision to turn away from you. And so, Lord, I do ask that if there is anybody in here, Lord, that doesn't know you, that you truly just reveal yourself to them, that you just let them know that you are a loving God, somebody who loves them deeply, somebody that wants to save them from hell, Lord. And Lord, I just pray for my brothers and sisters in this room that if there's anybody in here that just needs to break off sin from their life, Lord, and they're just missing out on maybe the blessings that you would have for them, that they would truly know what that is, that you'd reveal that to them today, that they would see what they need to cut out of their life, Lord, so that they can fully, wholeheartedly follow after you with their whole heart, Lord. So Lord, just thank you for my brothers and sisters as they go their way today. We just give you the rest of today, and just let us be refreshed as we walk away from here today, Lord. So we just give you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thanks guys for letting me share. Hopefully if you're watching Super Bowl today, it's a good one. I'll be watching it today. We'll see who God loves more, Giants or Patriots. So God bless you guys.